Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, it's Tuesday, and I appreciate you spending time with us today. We're going to learn some marvelous things from God's Word, and I'm glad you're here. Derek Prince has been teaching us for about the last week and a couple of days a marvelous series on the new life. He's been talking about how to know Jesus, how Jesus is the Word, what it's like to encounter Jesus, how we bear fruit in Jesus, and even how God prunes us to produce greater fruit consistent with the nature and character of His Son. Today, Derek is going to talk about this wonderful parable that Jesus taught, one we don't hear about a great deal, called the sheepfold. And in the great revelation that God has given Derek, we're going to understand some things about this parable that perhaps we haven't understood before and that can really apply to our lives. You know, there's a difference in the way that the Bible speaks of mystery. When most religions speak of mysteries, they're speaking of things to be concealed from people. But when God used the word mysteries, when it came to His people in the Scriptures, He was talking about things He wanted to reveal to them if they would but listen. And that's why Jesus told parables. He had mysteries, He had spiritual truths He wanted to reveal to the people, but sometimes they weren't ready, so He had to give them in story form and then trust that the Holy Spirit would come along and break out the meaning and the application of those parables as time went along. That's what we're going to be learning today. So get your Bible, get something to take notes with, and let's listen now as Derek teaches us the meaning of this marvelous parable called the sheepfold.
The title for my talks this week is The Sheepfold. It'll help you to answer a very difficult but also very important question. Who really are God's people in this world? Now, one way that the Bible helps us in this matter is through parables. The parable is a story or a picture of something familiar, material, that everybody in the time of Jesus knew about, but its real truth is not in the natural or the material, it's in the spiritual. And everything in the natural corresponds to something else in the spiritual. And so the parable becomes a kind of mirror reflecting the spiritual and the unfamiliar. And in this way, we proceed from the known to the unknown, which is one of the basic principles of good teaching. And Jesus, of course, was the perfect teacher. Now, with that thought about parables in mind, let's turn to the parable of the sheepfold, which is found in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 11, and then two verses further on. This is what Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen or the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman or the porter or the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them, figure of speech or parable. "Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly or to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." So that's the parable. Now let's try to identify the elements in this particular parable. Every main element in the material and the familiar has a corresponding element in the spiritual and the unseen. Well, many of the elements are already identified, but let's just look through them. First of all, the shepherd. Jesus says very clearly, I am the shepherd. Then who are the sheep? That's very important. I would say that the sheep are the true disciples or the real Christians. You see, we tend to think in terms of denominations or doctrines. Who are the real Christians? Those that belong to a certain church or believe certain doctrines. Now, belonging to a church is important. Believing doctrines is important, but that's not the mark of the real Christians. The real Christians are the ones who are the sheep of Jesus. And a little later on in this series of talks, we're going to be looking at the marks of the sheep. Then there is the sheepfold. What is the sheepfold? The sheepfold, I believe, is the gathering place for the people of God, for the disciples of Jesus. It's the church. It's the church on earth. And essentially, the sheepfold was a place of separation and security. The sheep were separated from the surrounding environment. They were protected from thieves and robbers and wild beasts. So they were set apart, and being set apart, they were secure. You see, that's an important truth. Christians who are not separated from the world are not secure. See how many different aspects of truth there are in these simple pictures. Then another very important figure in this parable is the doorkeeper, or the watchman, or the porter. Different words are used in different translations. The man who keeps the gate, the man who either keeps people out or lets people in. Now, we are not specifically told by Jesus, but I believe it's very clear and very important too. The gatekeeper, the doorkeeper, the watchman is the Holy Spirit. He's the one who admits people or excludes people. And he only admits those who've met the scriptural conditions. And then in the background is what we would call the Lord of the manor, the owner of all, the one who owns the land and the sheep and the fold and everything. And that, of course, is God the Father. Let me go through that very quickly once more to fix it in your memory. The shepherd is Jesus. The sheep are the true disciples or the real Christians. The sheepfold is the gathering place, the church, the place of separation and security. The doorkeeper or the watchman is the Holy Spirit. And the owner of all is God the Father. And then we need to see from this parable of Jesus that access to the church involves a relationship with all three persons of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father in this parable is somewhat in the background. He's the owner of all. But God the Son is the doorway through which alone legitimate entrance is gained. And God the Holy Spirit is the doorkeeper. So you see, the church is so important in God's eyes that to be in the church legitimately, you have to have a personal relationship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit.
Isn't it fascinating that this parable teaches us that we come into the church, into the sheepfold, through relationship with the three persons of the Godhead? You know, we have got to come home to the reality that Christianity is not primarily doctrine, it's not primarily church, it is primarily a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have one? More to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
How would you define extravagant? The absolute best? Over-the-top luxury? The ultimate in comfort and security? Then what would extravagant love be like? And what would extravagant love mean to you? The dictionary defines extravagant as going beyond reasonable limits, excessive, or unrestrained. And although you may not realize it, the truth is, you are loved in that way right now. God Himself loves you extravagantly. In his book, Extravagant Love, Derek Prince searched out key parables and scriptures from the Bible that define and explain God's love. He compiled these verses along with his insights into a comprehensive, easy-to-read book. God's love is not only unconditional, it is excessive and unrestrained. That is why we want you to have a free copy of Extravagant Love, absolutely free and postage paid. To get your copy, give us a call right now, 800-448-3261. The book and the call are both free. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the extravagant inheritance that waits you. Grasp the scope of God's extravagant love for you.
Call now and request your free copy. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or request your free copy of Extravagant Love when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thank you for spending part of your Tuesday with us. We're learning from Derek Prince the meaning of the sheepfold. And of course, Derek, as usual, is boiling the whole thing down to a relationship with Jesus. This is how we get into the sheepfold. We know Jesus Christ. And that, of course, that sheepfold is a symbol of the church. And so this is how we come into the church. This is how we become believers, by knowing Jesus Christ. It's a thrilling teaching, and I hope it's making your heart hungry for an intimate relationship with Jesus. Let's listen.
The picture of God's people, which we are looking at this week, is found in the parable of the sheepfold in John chapter 10. Now, in my talk today, I'm going to focus on one special and important feature of the sheepfold, that is the door or the gate. Both words are used in different translations. Now, right at the beginning of the parable, Jesus emphasizes the special importance of the door, or the gate. He kind of draws our attention to this particular feature. For instance, in John 10, verses 1 through 3, this is what he says. "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber." See, the focus is on the gate. Then he goes on, "The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Notice, the central feature of the opening part of that parable is the gate. The only legitimate way into the sheepfold is by the gate. The parable indicates it is possible to get in some other way, but anyone who does so is a thief and a robber. So it's very, very important for all of us to know what is the way, what is the significance of the gate. Because if we try to get into the sheepfold, that is the church of Jesus Christ, but we don't come by the gate, on the evidence of the words of Jesus himself, we are thieves. We're trying to get blessings and provisions of God for which we haven't fulfilled the qualifications. We're stealing. Now, a little further on, Jesus explains the door. He says in John 10, verse 7, "Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep," or the door. And then again in verse 9, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." You see, there's no salvation except for those who enter through the gate. See how crucial the gate is to everything. Now I want to lead on to a paradox, something very surprising, something we wouldn't normally expect. And let me tell you this, that whenever you find a paradox in the Bible, it should stir you to seek God and to pray and to ask God to show you what is the nature of the paradox. Some people say the Bible is inconsistent, it contradicts itself. I don't believe that. But I do believe that the Bible contains paradoxes, some things that are not the way we would expect them to be, some statements which sound very strange. When we come across those statements or those paradoxes, they should alert us to the fact, here's something that God is attracting my attention to, and if I seek him by the Holy Spirit, he'll help me, he'll give me insight, and I'll learn a very important lesson. You see, paradoxes in a certain sense are to keep out people who are just inquisitive. They're not really sincere seekers. In fact, they really want to be critics of God. That's their real purpose and function as they see it. And so they stumble over the paradox. They don't get past it. They just say, well, God contradicts himself. And they miss the real point. But the honest, humble seeker, when confronted by the paradox, bows his heart and his head and says, "Lord, I don't really understand this, but I believe you can show me." Now, here's the paradox in this particular parable. Jesus has already said more than once, "I am the gate." Now, in verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And again, in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." So you see, Jesus says of himself two things. He says, "I'm the gate," and he says, "I'm the shepherd." Now that's the paradox. How can Jesus be both the gate and the shepherd? A gate is one thing, shepherd is another. Well, there's an answer, I believe, and I believe God has shown me the answer. I'll let you be the judge of whether you feel that what I'm saying is right, but I sought God for the answer, and I believe he made it so very clear to me. And I believe it's very, very important. I've used the word crucial. I believe it is crucial. I don't know whether you're aware, but the adjective crucial is derived from the Latin word for a cross, so it means it's something that's a cross. And that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Jesus, the door, is Jesus crucified. Jesus, the shepherd, is Jesus resurrected. So, if you want to get in and have Jesus resurrected as your shepherd, you have to come in by the door, which is Jesus crucified. You can't just say, Jesus is a wonderful teacher, I'm going to follow him. That's not permitted. That's trying to get in without going through the door. Going through the door is saying, I'm a sinner. I owe a debt I cannot pay to God for all my sins. But I believe that Jesus on the cross paid that debt. And so I come not through my own cleverness or wisdom or righteousness, but I come only on the basis of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And so Jesus crucified is the door. And bear in mind what Jesus has emphasized so many times. If you try to get in any other way, you are a thief or a robber. I've been saying that Jesus is both the door and the shepherd of the sheep. Crucified, he's the door. Resurrected, he's the shepherd. I believe you'll agree that that's a tremendously important principle. And I want you to see how vividly it's brought out in the parable. What a brilliant method of teaching that parable is, because it takes something so simple and so clear and makes the things that we could not understand just as simple and just as clear. And let me repeat what I've said already. When you meet a paradox, don't stumble over it. Seek God about it, and it'll be a door to further truth.
What a fascinating insight Derek has just given us, that Jesus the resurrected is our shepherd. But we come through that door of Jesus, we come to the shepherd through Jesus the crucified. Boy, our search in our modern world to avoid the hard things, to avoid the crucifixion, to avoid the death that Jesus calls us to so that real life can arise, is a vain search. We come through the cross, and then we find the shepherd of our souls. More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
When life seems lifeless and hope far away, it's time for change, a complete transformation. In his encouraging book, Transformed for Life, Derek Prince reveals how Jesus' death on the cross began a marvelous transformation that can reach into your life right now. Through its pages, you'll discover how God's sacrificial gift forever changed the lives of those who know him, and why his sacrifice will take care of you completely. God's love for you is far from ordinary. Isn't it time for you to see how you can become transformed for life? To order your copy or to get one for someone you love, call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is only $12.95, and if you order now, we will make sure you receive it in time for the holidays. God has a transformed life waiting for you. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Do you ever wonder if you're justified before God? Do you ever wonder if God looks at your life of sin and just says, oh, I can't deal with this person? Or do you really understand that you're justified, that you have been made so right by Jesus Christ that God does not even see your sin, does not even deal with you in those terms? Well, in this marvelous series on knowing Jesus and bearing fruit in him, that's what Derek is about to teach us, what it means to be justified.
Now, I'd like to just briefly illustrate from Scripture the two principles. Jesus crucified is the door. Jesus resurrected is the shepherd. We'll look at just one verse that illustrates each of these principles. First of all, Jesus crucified as the door. Romans 4:25, he, that's Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. That's a tremendously important fact. Why did Jesus die? He did not die for his own sins. He had no sins. He did not die because the forces of evil were too strong and overcame him. He died because he was the appointed sacrifice for the sins of all men. He, by his death on the cross, paid the full penalty for all our sins. Then, when he was resurrected from the dead, he had power to forgive us and to give us eternal life and to justify us. Justify is an important kind of theological word. I've interpreted it many times this way. I'm justified. I'm just as if I'd never sinned, because I now have imputed to me by Almighty God the spotless, sinless righteousness of Jesus Christ. He was made sin with my sinfulness, that I in turn might be made righteous with his righteousness. And so he's the door. And when I've been made righteous with his righteousness, then I have free access into that sheepfold. Now let's look at the other side of that truth. Jesus resurrected is the shepherd. There's a most beautiful prayer near the end of the Epistle to the Hebrews. I'll just read the first part of it. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. So you see, when God the Father brought Jesus back from the dead, resurrected him from the dead, he was the great shepherd of the sheep. And it says there that he did it through the blood of the everlasting covenant, because the blood that Jesus shed, in which he poured out his soul unto death, is the all-sufficient ransom for every sinful soul of man. Because the ransom was fully paid by the death and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, then God the Father resurrected him the third day from the dead, no longer to be crucified, no longer to be just the door, but now to become the living, mighty, resurrected shepherd of those who've come in through the door. Let me close with this word of warning. If you want Jesus to be your shepherd, you must first enter through the door of his death. There is no other way into the sheepfold.
You know, I hope that as you listen to Derek break out the scriptures so clearly, and particularly make this one parable so clear to us, that you'll be encouraged that the Word of God is understandable. You know, I remember what it was like when I first became a believer, and even before I was a believer. When I would read the Bible, I would think, I'll never understand this. All this stuff happening, all this symbols and vines and trees and birds and seeds. I don't know what all this stuff is. But you know what? The prayerful application of our minds and our hearts to the Scriptures and the revelation of the Holy Spirit can bring the truth of God's Word to us. When we listen to Derek teach, we're not listening to somebody who came from another planet or whom God gave some just out of this world kind of experience. We're listening to somebody who has applied his mind and heart to understanding God's Word, just as we can if we'll invest ourselves. Listen, log on to the website at derekprince.org and listen to these teachings as often as you need to so that they really take form in your heart. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To order your copy of Derek's book, Transformed for Life, give us a call toll free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is just $12.95. And when you call, be sure to request your free copy of Derek's powerful booklet, Extravagant Love. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order both resources securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.